The writing scene in Wisconsin is booming, from high-profile authors signed by major publishing houses to self-published authors with their first books. Today we sit down with Lawrence Tabak, a Madison author whose new young adult novel, In Real Life, just came out. It's the story of a 15-year-old math prodigy, Seth Gordon. Seth wants to devote his life to gaming and hit the big time in South Korea, where the top gamers are celebrities.
Lawrence Tabak joins us now. He's the proud dad of two game-obsessed boys who are doing pretty well for themselves. His new novel is called In Real Life. Lawrence, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much.
Well, your main character, Seth, is obsessed with being a pro gamer. This is his passion. Tell us about Seth.
Well, as you just mentioned, he's a 15-year-old boy living in the Midwest, and not unlike a lot of kids today, loves to play his computer games. The difference is that he is very good at it, so good that he actually can aspire to make a living at it. And while that may sound like a far-fetched dream, these days it's not.
And he plays something called Starfare. What is that?
Well, it's actually a made-up game for the book, but it's very close to a lot of the games which attract the biggest audiences. They're strategy games in which either individuals or teams of players battle in a sort of a electronic capture-the-flag mode, playing through heroes that they pick and emulate throughout the game, kind of as an avatar.
Well, he finds himself in a bind that lots of kids who love video games often find themselves in with their parents, and that is that they're passionate about these games, they want to play them, but their parents are doing this thing where they want to limit the screen time, don't want the kids on the computers all the time, and this is something that you actually went through as a parent as well. Tell me how you dealt with your own son's interest in video games.
Well, as you said, I'm not alone on this one. I think a lot of kids would spend virtually their entire day on the computer. And just like any kid who has a passion, it's important to try to provide balance in their lives. And that's something that my wife and I really struggled with as our kids got more and more involved in gaming. We really had a series of different decisions to make, including whether or not to actually provide the equipment. And our decision was not to buy gaming consoles, which were sort of the rage at the time, thinking that they would find something else to do, you know, read a book, go out and play in the street. Instead, they gravitated to the computer. So I guess I have some responsibility for driving them in that direction.
But we have to finish the story here because, you know, parents may think this is just a hobby that is sucking my child away from, you know, getting ready to be the next Nobel Prize winner. But you can go really far these days in achievement when it comes to video games. Tell us what your son is doing.
Well, in my own household, my elder son, who's now 26, became a really avid gamer, both throughout his teen years and then kept it up as he grew into college age. And by the time he was a senior at University of Wisconsin, he had achieved the number one ranking in the game of his choice. And when he told me that, I said, "You mean the number one ranking in your league?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, the number one ranking, like on your server?" And he said, "No." I said, "Well, what?" He said, "In the world." So that was a bit of a surprise.
What game was it?
It was called Heroes of New Earth, which is very similar to a lot of the most popular strategy games out there, a multiplayer game. And as a result, he was invited to join a pro team called SK Gaming and played on a pro team for a while. But the money is only more recently, I mean, even though that was just a few years ago, the money in terms of pro gaming has just escalated enormously. And we can talk about that.
Yeah, what kind of money are we talking about?
Well, let me bring it back to home, because here in Madison, where I live, there's a young man who grew up three doors down from me, who I was surprised to find out upon Googling that is one of the most famous video gamers, computer gamers in the country. And I've followed his career kind of closely since. He recently, this would be in July, played in the biggest esports tournament in the history. It was a tournament in Seattle, Washington, for a game called Dota 2. And he and his teammates ended up finishing third in the world. And they each took home over $200,000.
Wow.
So that was a bit of a shock. The winning team, a Chinese team, each of the players took home over $1 million.
Oh, my goodness.
And so this is something that is really breaking out and a very, very new phenomena.
Well, how big is the video game industry these days? How would you compare it to other industries?
Well, it's about neck and neck with the with Hollywood and the movie industry. So it's really a big, big industry. And that crosses a lot of different segments. Here in Madison, we have some fairly prominent video game developers and companies. My son, who went on after his short career as a pro gamer, went to work for a company called Twitch in San Francisco. And Twitch just recently got bought out by Amazon for approximately $1 billion.
And Twitch is a home base for hosting video games.
Twitch's only business is streaming live video games. So they basically appeal to people who want to watch video games. And this puzzles a lot of people, especially I noticed a lot of older business reporters were somewhat shocked at the price paid for it. And when they looked into it, they thought it was something of a joke. I mean, how could someone pay $1 billion for a company that just lets people watch other people play video games? But it turns out there's a lot of people willing to do that. And the average viewership now Twitch TV is higher than a lot of TV networks at the same time, higher than CNN or, you know, True TV. It's right up there with a lot of network TVs in terms of the audience that they're attracting.
We're talking right now with Lawrence Tabak for this month's Wisconsin Author segment. He's a freelance writer and the author of the new young adult novel. It's called In Real Life. We're back now talking with Wisconsin author Lawrence Tabak. He is a freelance writer and the author of the young adult novel In Real Life.
His new novel takes up the world of high-stakes gaming with 15-year-old Seth Gordon, who wants to conquer the world of video games. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a spectator for online video games? Do you play in this world of maybe competitive video gaming, or you are someone you know? And as a parent, how do you navigate the issue of how much video game, computer game time, console game time to allow? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234.
Now, Lawrence, in your novel, your hero, Seth, he wants a life of the South Korean gamers who are, you know, rich and famous celebrities, more or less. He's got big goals when it comes to this. What is he hoping to do?
Well, I think a lot of kids have aspirations, and particularly kids that have a passion for something. And I was really interested in exploring that side of the world, particularly this new world of video gaming, which I felt was being sort of underrepresented in the literature. In fact, when I began thinking about this project, it was really inspired by the fact that my younger son was showing less and less interest in reading. And this is, of course, a painful thing for a parent who is a writer. And I asked him, would you be interested in a book if it had something to do with video gaming, something, a kid who was like you? And he said, well, sure. And so we went to find that book, and we couldn't. Hmm. So I think there's a lot of kids out there that probably can identify with the world that I portray in this book. And I was particularly interested in taking it all the way to Korea, because in Korea, the esports world is much more developed than it is in the U.S., and I think a lot of people always, you know, think that pop culture starts and stops in the United States. Well, here's a case where it's really much more developed in Korea. And I thought it would be sort of an insight into what's possible here in the States.
So it sounds as though in South Korea, there is a higher cachet with playing games like this. What is it like?
Well, to give you an example, there's two TV stations that play gaming 24 hours a day.
TV stations,
network TV stations. So it's a big part of the culture there. There's a lot of, you know, where we have 7-Elevens, they have neighborhood gaming parlors. The players who are playing at the top of their particular games, as you said earlier, are really celebrities akin to, you know, baseball players or basketball players in the United States. So it's really a big part of the cultural scene there.
And with your character, Seth, tell us a little bit, if you want to give away a little more of your book, he ends up in South Korea eventually, right?
Yeah, that's not a secret. It's right on the cover, so we're not giving anything away. But I was really interested in sort of the cultural phenomena and the culture clash that happens when someone is dislocated from their familiar terrain and put into a foreign culture. And he is in spades, because he's dropped right into a really hotbed of competitive activity without a lot of preparation for it. You know, he's a young kid. He knows he wants to be great at something, but he's not prepared for the world in which he's placed in. Well, I think that's true for a lot of adolescents as they, you know, go through their teenage years.
Well, let's go to our phone lines right now. We've got Kate joining us from Pierce. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Hi, what do you think?
I think gaming is great. It improves coordination and you can make lifelong friends.
Improves coordination. Have you found that in your own life?
Oh, yes.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for that call. It sounds like Kate talking up some of the benefits of gaming there, maybe some of the positives that, you know, maybe parents need to keep in mind.
Well, I think one thing that is interesting is the physical demands that are placed on gamers. A world-class gamer does about 400 actions per minute. That's how many clicks of the keyboard and mouse they make in a minute.
Wow.
So if you watched over the shoulder of a world-class gamer, it would be a whirlwind of activity. So it's not simply passive. I mean, when I was growing up, everyone worried about kids watching too much TV. Today, I think parents are in a similar bind with their computer gaming children. But it's a much different quality of activity. It's more active physically, and it's extremely intense mentally. It's like, I guess the best example would be like a chessboard that's constantly changing.
Hmm.
If you look at a gamer after a 30, 40-minute intense game, they are absolutely drained. So it doesn't surprise me that someone talks about the dexterity involved.
Yeah, that puts it in perspective. Thank you for that, Kate. And we move next to Donna in Brookfield. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I have an interesting comment. I wanted to let you know that I have a daughter who's 28 years old, and she's getting her PhD in anthropology, and her study is gaming. Online gaming.
Interesting. Okay, so this is something that's, it sounds like, you know, not just your daughter, but this is something that's starting to be taken a lot more seriously, isn't it, Lawrence?
It absolutely is. And, you know, I think people forget how central gaming is to not only the lives of kids, but to humans in general. There's a book that was written 50 years ago called Homo Ludens, Man the Game Player, in which a philosopher, Johann Huizinga, talks about how central it is across the entire human species. And I think that is exemplified in this world, and as well as in all kinds of other sports and activities that become so important to people.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Donna. I appreciate that. And, you know, my son is into Magic the Gathering, which you can play online. You can also play with good old-fashioned cards. And I just learned this year that, you know, being really good at Magic the Gathering, sometimes you can earn a full ride to college. And it made me think, you know, about the possibilities with gaming that you would have assumed as a parent were just, you know, frivolity, time wasters before. Do you think that it's time to change the way that we think about games?
Well, there was recent press release about a college that is offering a scholarship in computer gaming. And I thought that was kind of shocking, but interesting. In terms of Magic the Gathering, you know, Madison's a great town for games and for a Magic the Gathering. We have a resident here, Bob Maher, who is in the World Hall of Fame of Magic the Gathering. And my kids were big Magic the Gathering players. My older son won scholarship money at the national competitions.
There you
go. So we have that in common.
Parents like to hear that. Now, how was it transferring this real-life experience to the book? Did you borrow liberally from your experience as a parent, your experience with your sons, or did you try to bring lots of different other elements into this?
Well, I think a lot of the aspects of the sort of the mental side of gaming, the physical reality of what it takes are from my own life. But the story itself, it really takes off from there and goes in directions that are entirely imaginative.
And you've got your sons there who I'm assuming have both read it by this point. What do they think? Did you do a good job?
Well, the good news is they both read it. I think they liked it, but at the same time, I think it's kind of it's slightly embarrassing for a teenager to have a father writing about teenagers.
Well, maybe when they get older, they'll appreciate it more.
I hope so.
And what kind of response have you gotten? You couldn't find this book when you were looking for it when your sons were younger. You couldn't find a book about a young man passionate about video games, or a young woman for that matter. Have you written that book?
Well, I hope so. And I hope that other people will pick up the standard. The book is being widely distributed. It's been Barnes & Noble has committed to a national buy. I'll be doing a book event at the Barnes & Noble West in Madison on November 9th at 2 p.m. And I'll be in Spring Green at Arcadia on November the 2nd, both Sundays at 2 p.m. And the reviews and book bloggers have all been quite active in their interest in the book, so it's been really rewarding.
Now, having been through this as a parent, you and your wife were worried about all the games, especially that your eldest son wanted to play. He came out the other end. He's, you know, got a real job. Any advice you want to give parents out there who are struggling with this now, who have younger kids?
Well, I mentioned earlier balance, and I think that's important. I don't think that whether your kid is into gymnastics or football or video gaming, that it should be the only thing in their lives. But I do think I'm sorry, I lost the thread.
Advice you want to give parents.
Oh, yeah, I think parents should seek that kind of balance, but they shouldn't be scared of it, especially in the modern times that we're in, where computer skills are so important and so many things are being done through a computer, whether it's surgery or, on a different note altogether, drone controls. But I was surprised to see my kids one day playing a typing game where it was to see how fast you could type. And they were consistently punching out over 100 words a minute, 130 actually. So, you know, that's got to have some value in life.
All right. Well, Lawrence, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And by the way, you can catch Lawrence Tabak at Acadia Books in Spring Green on November 2nd, and at Madison's Barnes & Noble West on November 9th. He's a freelance writer and the author of the young adult novel called In Real Life.